Welcome to the Tradies in Business podcast with your hosts, Warwick Bidwell and Nicole Cox. Divert your phone and grab a brew as Waz and Nick unpack tips, tales, secrets and stuff-ups from guests both inside and outside your trade, helping educate and inspire you to break the cycle of gut-busting and money stress and create a true trade business.
So Waz, HR, it's not sexy really, is it?
Oh, sorry. You said HR. I fell asleep.
Oh, I understand. I think a lot of us feel the same way.
You know what? It's even for me, I know the value in this stuff and I know how important it is. And it's like pulling teeth.
It really feels that way. But can I say, we didn't have a horror story because we got the support, but yeah. We left it too late.
Yeah.
And if you can take anything out of today's episode, it's how not to leave it until it's too late.
Does it bug you thinking back how long you left it and what that might have cost you?
Yes. Actually, I don't even want to think about that. If we can move past that, that would be fantastic. But, it's the little things that you ignore because you haven't got the right confidence or you don't feel empowered enough. You don't have the education. Mm. You just don't know what to do, so you let it slide.
Yeah, and that whole thing of not knowing what to do and not understanding this whole area, I think there's a lot of mystery about HR. It's made to be, I think maybe the industry itself has a bit to answer for here of making it this mythical beast. And in reality, today's guest really does lay that bare for us.
So. Absolutely, and it can be simple.
Yeah. So we've got Kath from, Career Embassy or Business Embassy, depending which brand you find her under. Kath Tierney with us today. And, yeah, I was actually quite surprised at how straightforward it is. It
can be very simple. It's one of those things you really shouldn't not do. Get on it.
That was like a double negative.
I know, it's terrible.
Shouldn't not. Does that mean you should do it?
Do it now. Get on this HR bandwagon.
Just do it.
Alrighty, so joining us today on the Tradies in Business podcast is a lady by the name of Kath Tierney from Career Embassy. Kath, welcome to the show.
Thank you. How are you?
Very well, thanks. And for those of you watching on YouTube, you can see my co-host standing here on my left shoulder, my left-hand woman.
Hi,
and
team.
I'm the right-hand man, is that right?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, okay. How are you, Kath?
I'm very well, thank you.
That's good.
And nice and sunny over here in Perth.
Yeah, okay. Well, it's stinking hot here in Queensland. We've had some storms and stuff floating around lately too. It hailed on us again up here in Toowoomba last night. So
wow, okay.
Wild weather around. But apparently the drought even, not bad for a podcaster, the drought hasn't broken yet, even though there's a whole lot of rain around. So,
well, we'll send you some more rain across.
Yes, please.
That'd be great. Now, we're not here to talk about the weather, are we, Kath?
No, we're not.
What are we talking about?
I could. I'm happy to.
Yeah. Hopefully that's not more interesting than HR. And Nick and I were talking before we jumped on here with you, and it's like HR, like I think a lot of people just feel like it's pulling teeth. Or, reading tea leaves or something. I don't know. It's not a subject that a lot of people like to talk about or consider in their businesses, but it's super important, isn't it?
It is, actually, and it's becoming more and more important, especially for small to medium-sized companies who are not so familiar with what HR is and what it can do for their businesses and what it should be doing.
Very true. And you know what I think is worse than the dread, I suppose, of having to deal with HR is the outcome if you don't have it in place. You know, the things that can go wrong for you and your business and the stress that that can cause. So having great policies and procedures in place straight from the beginning makes such a big difference.
It does, and I'm seeing that with a number of clients who have been putting some of those policies and procedures in place over the last couple of years. And they're really thriving. It's almost that they've decided to, just take it on board, do the right thing. And, they've sort of, for whatever reason, it's like this incredible growth that they've gone through.
Mm. So, Kath, before we dive in, which we tend to do, Nick and I are very good at going down rabbit holes very early on in the piece. Give our listeners a bit of background. We know what your name is and the name of your business, but give us a bit of the timeline leading up to this point. How did you come to be doing this?
Okay, so I have quite a broad and detailed background in corporate HR from a long time ago. It's been my entire career. And when I say corporate HR, I'm talking about the big guys, the blue chip companies here in Australia and overseas in America and globally, and so, you know, sometime over in the UK as well. And in the last 10 years, however, I've actually based myself from Perth and became one of the entrepreneurial people over here that we have. And, you know, started to provide HR support and services and now products to small to medium-sized companies who have not had that in the past. They haven't had the same support that the big guys take for granted.
Mm.
So when you were a little girl and you got asked the question, what do you want to be when you grow up? Did you say, I want to be a HR consultant?
Well, my brothers still tease me about the fact that they say that I used to have the Financial Review in a briefcase when I went to kindergarten. But I actually wanted to be a postie.
Oh, wow.
You wanted to get chased by magpies and yappy dogs.
I wanted to ride my bike.
Ah. You're a motorcyclist.
No, not at all. Right. I think it was, delivering, lunch to my dad who was a tradie and working on buildings down the road and all that sort of stuff. So it was, I thought that was a pretty cool thing. Being chased by dogs, by the way.
Yeah, cool.
No, HR, I've always loved the employment side of it, the employment law side of it, and how it really can impact business, because it actually isn't, it's not so clear cut sometimes. It actually goes right across the whole spectrum of business, and it can influence and impact finances, productivity, performance, profit, business strategy. And I love to know how things work. And, HR is really on the ground, how things work and grow. Yeah.
For our listeners that don't really understand what we're talking about when we're talking about HR, can you explain the concept of HR?
Sure. Okay. So a lot of people think HR is just hiring and firing and training. In fact, a lot of people, HR is very broad and let me give an analogy. So, for example, people have an accountant for finances, but they may also have a bookkeeper. They may also have an auditor. They may also have a financial advisor. So across a whole spectrum of finance, they may have a number of different experts and advisors for those different functions of finance. So HR is similar to finance in that regard, in the sense that there are several different aspects to HR, and one way to explain it is that it's a whole gamut of from the beginning of sourcing people to work in your business right through to making sure that you're compliant in terms of looking after them as an employer, right through to making sure that that person is being productive for your business, and you're actually helping that person be productive, through to, okay, well, what happens if it's not working out, So it is that hiring and firing and everything in between, but it's more than just a policy or a procedure or a letter of appointment or hiring, training, payroll. It's HR is all of those sorts of things. So it's the management of your employees.
It's a very comprehensive part of business, HR. I've had some experiences, good and bad, with trying to grow a team and the culture changing and requiring HR support to help me get through that challenge, shall we say. And I guess my big take home was we left it too late. It's something we should have had in place from the very first staff member. It's a part of business that was unfamiliar to me at that time. And therefore we made some mistakes in the way that we hired or the people that we hired, and we didn't necessarily have the right contracts in place to make sure or to assist the exiting of some of those employees in a seamless way. So we had to take on some support, and support's fantastic, but if you leave it to the last minute, it's a little too late.
You said that all very diplomatically.
Did I?
Yeah, you made that sound very clean and professional. And
I'm biting my tongue. You should see the junk out of my tongue.
Unfortunately, a lot of my work comes from referrals from lawyers, accountants, other clients who know of someone who's gotten into trouble and they need some help getting out of trouble. And that might mean, for an example, they might have someone who's in their who's in their business. And it can be a small business where there's a bullying situation going on or there's a poor performance situation or there's theft, or you've got someone who's just not in the right job, and the owner or the business manager or, you know, who's looking after, you know, the people can't sleep at night because they don't really know what to do, and they're worried that they're going to do something that's wrong. And so they don't do anything. And I've seen companies turn around where we've gone in and, just sat down, looked at what was going on. Whether it be a small engineering company or a plumbing company, industrial parts and supplies type company, where, you know, it's a matter of you haven't got the right person doing the right job, doing the right things. And with a little bit of help from HR, you can actually set that on the right course. And one example, talking to one of my clients this week, we set him up with good employment contracts for his staff. And he has about 20 plumbers, or he did have. He went up to about 75. Wow. And he had them working 42 hours, for example, each week as a standard contract. And markets pulled back a bit. And because of the way we set up his employment contracts, and we identified that his flat rate included a whole bunch of stuff, including, you know, defined overtime and stuff like that, he's been able to, instead of making, people redundant, he's been able to say, look, you know, as per your employment contract, you know, we've been paying you this extra overtime. We need to pull back now. So it's given him that, not just the confidence to actually address those sorts of issues, but also the tools and the ability to say, okay, well, now I want everyone to work 38 hours.
I think HR is like an insurance policy for your business. Good HR principles are just so necessary.
And it's often looked at, I think, in the marketplace as a bit of a protectionist strategy, but the opportunity in that case study you just shared, Kath, is such a classic one where it allows a business leader to actually lead for the good of the whole team. And rather than have to lay off people entirely, you know, everybody can keep their jobs, even if it is a slightly reduced level, because they've got the confidence, I guess, to be able to do that without fearing what I've been through, where I've made someone redundant in a previous business of mine and get taken to Fair Work and go through all that stuff, and in the end it was a frivolous case, but it still cost me a buttload of money as a business owner
and time
to defend it, and the time and the distraction and all that stuff. So having all the right things in place in the first instance, I think, just frees business owners up to lead.
And often it's my clients will ring me and say, Kath, I've got this situation, what do I say?
Yes.
What are the words I use?
Yes.
You have a chat with them on the phone and they go, okay, cool. And you ring them back a couple of weeks later and go, how did you go with that? Yep, done. It was really tough. It was one of the toughest things I had to do, but I did it.
Yeah.
And you know what? Everyone was okay with it. HR, to answer your question, and we've sort of gone around in examples and stuff like that, but Most small to medium-sized companies think of HR as extra paperwork and bureaucracy, right?
Yep.
Now, I actually think of it as a more proactive tool and say, well, look, you know, if you get a couple of things right from the get-go, put them in place, then it gives you a little bit more leverage down the path when you need to make decisions. And big companies, the big corporate companies, they don't focus on that paperwork for HR. They actually, when they talk HR, they talk productivity, performance and profit. And that is very different. And that's now what I'm teaching small to medium-sized companies to say, look, you know, get all your compliance in place. That's not that hard. You know, it's a little bit of a tiny investment up front. Get it right. Learn a little bit about it. It gives you some guidelines to work within. And but let's look at your productivity and your performance and your profit and how, as a business, you could be doing more with, you know, with what you've got.
I guess a common question I'm asked is when small businesses in particular should start looking at implementing HR?
As soon as they've got their ABN and employ their first person.
Totally agree. Couldn't agree more.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. And so what does that look like, Kath? Like, can you give us a bit of a basic outline of the things our listeners should be thinking about if they're starting out and if they're already in business, you know, what they need to go back and make sure that they've considered?
Sure. So the first things are to make sure that you've got a good employment contract in place, right? And that is for all employees, casuals, part-timers, full-timers, management, and just check that you know the applicable award, because a lot of people don't know which award. And especially in construction, there are curly things like a special redundancy clause that applies across different tradie awards that don't apply in other awards. Mm. Just get a handle on that because you can get caught out. So just, you know, when you're starting out, just understand some real basics like letter of employment, a couple of really good policies. And again, it doesn't have to cost you a lot of money, and it actually doesn't if you get quality ones. Don't just get random stuff off the internet that you copy and paste.
Really? Why not?
I can assure you that's where I get a lot of business from. Not the right side of business.
So what's the alternative, Kath? Because it is probably the go-to strategy for tradies in business everywhere is go find one on the internet and just make it your own.
Well, for a start, it doesn't necessarily reflect how they operate their own business and what they want to do.
Mm-hmm.
All right, you know. And also, it may not be compliant, because there's a lot of changes that have happened through Fair Work. When I say Fair Work, I mean the Fair Work Act, Fair Work Commission, Fair Work Ombudsman. So I'm giving it a nickname today, calling it Fair Work.
Yep.
So, you know, a lot of changes. So you need to keep up to date. So anything you get off the internet randomly and bits and pieces. Often I find documents that have, you know, refer to Schedule A or refer to Schedule B, and of course there is none. I've seen that many times over. But there are other opportunities as well to take advantage of the flexibility that's in awards. And, you know, you can write that into employment contracts, and you can use flat rates, you know, if you do it properly. So first of all, get your employment contract. Secondly, get some basic good quality policies in place that you can rely on, and it stops you having to tell people over and over again what you expect of them. You can just, you know, say, look, I sent you the policy. You know, that's what my expectation is. Make sure your pay rates are right, and that includes overtime allowances, annual leave loading. Many people keep thinking annual leave loading doesn't exist, and it does.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even big companies can get caught out on that. Some other basics, and this might sound a bit tree-hugging, but things like having a feedback form.
Yes.
You know, just a very simple feedback form, and big companies call it performance management. I call it feedback.
Mm-hmm.
just a very simple, you know, this is what you've been doing really well. I'm really, you know, happy about that. These are things we need to improve. There's some really simple things that should be right across the board. A probation policy or an induction, health and safety. They're the sorts of things that also need to be taken into account, especially if you're looking to put in for large contracts. You know, you need to have this compliance in place as well.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
You know, a subcontractor agreement. What does that look like? You know?
Yeah.
What's the difference between a subcontractor versus an employee? You need to know that.
Mm.
Yeah. Yeah. I spent 2 hours explaining that to Tyler's yesterday.
So, I mean, you've probably covered this in some regard, Cass, but what do you wish tradies did better in their businesses when it comes to HR?
Pick up the phone.
Okay. Can you expand for us?
Pick up the phone and say, you know, this is where I'm at. This is what I'm doing. You know, and just be comfortable just talking about where they're at in terms of their business, and having a HR person who can talk to them about, well, have you thought about this or that?
Yeah.
So, for example, if, you know, someone rings up and says, oh, you know, we're really struggling with this person, apprentice or someone who's really giving us a hard time. I keep telling him what to do all the time, you know.
I've never heard that from a tradie. I've told him 1,000 times was, and he's still not doing it.
Exactly. Or, you know, I've got great people, but they really just don't get along. There's a personality issue. I mean, that's a fantastic one. It's like, well, hang on. That is not performance. Performance is about behaviours as well as doing the work that's required, you know. So, yes, pick up the phone.
It's a great start. Talk to somebody. Get some help.
And don't do the fear factor. Don't be sucked into companies that are selling HR through insurance and you know, you're going to get fined $30,000 and all this sort of stuff. You know, don't go down that path.
And one of the fears I see with tradespeople in business is the idea that HR is expensive, that you know, to do it right, it's going to cost them thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars, and it's going to be years of work and just an absolute headache. Is that a myth, or, you know, is there a myth there we can bust, Kath?
Sure, absolutely. It doesn't have to be expensive at all. Am I allowed to say what I've been doing?
Absolutely.
Please do. Yeah.
So I sell my HR products through Officeworks online. And that, again, is to give access to all size businesses to be able to get a HR hiring kit. It's only a couple hundred dollars, and it's got a letter of appointment. It's got the Fair Work statement. It's got probation policy. It's got recruitment guidelines. It's got a whole lot of stuff, and it's only a couple hundred dollars, and that's on Officeworks. I mean,
cool.
You know, companies pay thousands and thousands of dollars for all that stuff. So,
yeah.
You know. And it can be used across any industry, you know. So, and we're about to launch a subscription. It's going to be something like $50 a month, maybe, for up to about 20 employees, where we'll just, you know, your staff can just log on and get all the policies and documents and things like that. So HR does not have to be expensive, and it should be in a way that costed in a way that you know, you might pay for one little thing, but you can use that over and over and over and over again, you know.
I think not having HR is expensive or can be an absolute nightmare. And having to find that support last minute when everything's going wrong is when some of the other players in the market will prey upon those small business owners, and you are paying a fortune for something that should be really quite simple.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I do see that. I have seen companies paying tens and tens of thousands of dollars, and if they had have just done it right from the very beginning and maybe spent, you know, $1,000, got everything straight, got someone that they can just ring up and ask, you know, I'm about to do this. Is this okay? I'm about to let someone go, or, you know, about to put someone on. You know, it can be a 10-minute phone call sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
I wish I'd done that. I had, as I said, a Fair Work case brought against me as an employer in, over the years, fessing up. It turned out to be a completely frivolous claim, but it still cost me $10,000.
Yes.
And, you know, I ended up settling with that person just to make it go away because for me to actually defend it, which the HR lawyer was adamant that I should take it to court.
Wow, okay.
I was like, dude, I'm not paying your fees, you know. I just want to make it go away and get on with my business.
Well, what I do is I actually – and I try to teach people how to anticipate any dispute that they may have or grievance within their organization, whether it be a small company, family business or whatever, and to deal with it in-house.
Mm. Yeah, yeah, yep.
And to make sure that if something goes you know, a little bit off or whatever, that it's all set up so that all the work's been done.
Yes.
Yep.
And it's been done in-house by them.
Yep.
And it's all there, ready to go. And if it is disputed, then they can actually defend it fairly quickly and it gets thrown out at the very, very beginning.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think I've said in conversations with you two, you know, I've had situations where, and this is not a good thing, where, you know, a business owner sacks someone on text message.
What's wrong with that?
On a Friday night with a few expletives in his text. And, you know, because we did a lot of work getting ready for the mediation and everything, we got a really good resolution out of it, right? We didn't have to pay thousands of dollars. We paid a couple hundred dollars and that was it. But but again, it comes down to having someone that they could pick up the phone and go, Kath, we've done this, help.
Yeah. What do I do now?
Or we want to do this, help is better.
Kath, I'd love to know this is probably a bit the scary end of what you do. The worst case that you've seen or worst case scenario. Give us a few stuff ups, I suppose, that you've seen.
Okay. So in terms of not doing anything or in terms of having to defend them?
How about you give us one of both?
Horror story. We want horror stories, Kath.
Okay, a horror story. And in fact, the company that I'm about to talk about have actually given me permission to use them as a case study.
Wonderful.
It's a small engineering business that has some tradies as well, a workshop, a small family business, less than 15 people.
Mm-hmm.
And I was asked to go and help them because they had an owner, the father, and a director, the son-in-law, who was working, and a non-working director who is the daughter, and half the staff were non-family. And the reason I was called in was to help them with a bullying case where the supervisor, the tradie, was highly skilled in his trade, but he was bullying not just the people that were who were reporting to him, but also to the back to the owners.
Wow.
And they actually asked me to come in and help with that situation. And I said, well, okay, have you got any documents on this guy, you know?
Mm.
And they said, yeah, we have. We gave him a first and final warning. And I said, okay, when was that? And keeping in mind, before I get to that point, what they wanted me to sack him for was to not he didn't bring in a whiteboard into the room when he was asked to. Okay, that was their excuse. I said, let's get rid of him. He's done something bad, and it's like, what has he done? Okay, well, he's a bully, but at the same time, he didn't bring in the whiteboard. We want to sack him for that. And I said, okay, so let's go back to this first and final warning. They said, oh yeah, we gave him one 5 years ago for punching someone in the face on a client's site.
Oh goodness!
Holy moly!
Okay. And I said, so now you want to sack him for not bringing in a whiteboard right into a room. And because he was a bully and he was toxic. And anyway, we ended up there were other things, and we ended up being able to terminate him, terminate his employment. But as I was walking into this company, I noticed that the admin lady kept putting her head down. And I turned to her and I said to them, check her accounting and bookkeeping, because I think she's stealing from you.
Oh, goodness.
She actually was paying herself on occasion at least three times over.
Oh, wow.
She transferred accruals that had been paid out to her. She transferred those across as well.
Goodness.
So in this small company, I ended up sacking eight people.
Wow.
One for bullying, one for stealing, one for, you know, the procurement lady who had purchased, you know, $350,000 worth of stock that they'd never sell. One for drugs on site, client site. One for not wearing his safety gear. He'd wear his thongs or he'd go sleep in the car during the day. But all these things had been going on, and this business was going down the toilet.
Not surprisingly. Now,
no.
Yeah, so, and the son-in-law, who was one of the directors, who'd been part of, been bullied, he'd gone off for 3 months on stress leave. So the whole business was a bit of a shambles.
Yeah.
Now it is kicking goals. It is winning $1 million contracts almost every second week.
And all from a bit of fantastic HR.
So worked with them, gave them words to use, helped them clear out the people that shouldn't have been there, pointed out that that's not acceptable behaviour. You do not have to accept that.
Mm. Yeah.
And you have the right to hire and fire.
Absolutely.
It's one of the biggest things that – one of the big things that hamstrings a lot of businesses that I see, trade businesses especially, is a reluctance or a fear or a myth around letting people go. Is that you can't, or it's, you know, they're going to take me to Fair Work or whatever, because we hear all these horror stories. But is the reality different, Kath?
It is if it's done properly. So part of that story is that teaching these people that if you do it properly, you can make good decisions based on information, and it's about setting it up so that you've got a good employment contract. So they use an employment contract that has a probation period in it now, and they use that probation period.
Mm. Yep.
They sit down with their staff and they give them some feedback and say, look, you know, it's working out, it's not working out. And they do that in the first few months.
Yeah.
And now they sort of go, okay, we want to get rid of this person. Can you write us a letter? You know, and tell us, give us a bit of a script. And they go off and do it now. They don't need me to do it for them.
Yep.
Because at the beginning, I was sitting in the room and actually I was saying the words. They were just sitting there nodding.
Yeah.
Now that it's reversed. They've got that confidence and they've got the skills and they, you know, to do it themselves and go, you know, we don't have to put up with this.
Mm.
So it is confidence, but it's also knowing what you can and can't do.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And that's the key in any of these decisions is having that knowledge and, like you say, the confidence with this is the law or this is what my rights are or, you know, as an employer, this is what I can do.
Yeah.
Because it's just – it breaks my heart to see so many businesses basically being held to ransom by employees that not necessarily maliciously, but, you know, the business owner allows these things – to continue, and I can see that it's costing them money, it's wrecking their culture, you know, it's really just, it makes the place really shit to be in, to be honest.
It is, and, you know, that's a classic example of, you know, the original business owner, he was going through his own personal, you know, his wife had died and all this sort of stuff, and he just let the employees run the business however they wanted to.
Yep.
And as I said, it was really at the point where they were looking at closing it down. It was just too hard. And in the last, what is it now, earlier this year, they were able to give all their employees 7.5% pay increases.
Wow.
That's
and
cool.
Some bonuses, and because they've got the right team now.
Yes.
Yeah.
They've got some young apprentices coming through. They've got people bringing in business. It's just going great guns. And, you know, all because they said, okay, we need some help.
That's a great result from a terrible horror story.
Oh, absolutely.
Mm.
So, yeah, so it cost them a few thousand to get through some of those horrible pieces of work. Touch wood, none of them. None of them were disputed.
Mm, good.
Because we did it all properly.
Mm-hmm. Yep, yep.
And mind you, they did give me a bit of a nickname, but we won't go there.
I'm sure you've had a few.
But now we're doing the positive things with them.
That's
you know?
Right.
And that's the key though, isn't it? Like HR really ought to be a positive thing for both the employer and the employees. Rather than this you know, Grim Reaper idea about what HR actually is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was the sort of nickname.
So,
and that's the thing. It's like to be able to say they've just given all their staff 7.5% pay increases. They're winning business because they've got the right people, and you know they can deliver on time, and they're not going to go backwards.
Yeah.
They've sort of put that, you know, it's a line in the sand, I call it, and go, you know what, let's clean up what you've got and let's set the new expectations and go, okay, yeah, that might have been the past, but, you know, from now on, this is what's acceptable, this is what's not acceptable.
Yep.
And the financial investment they made in that process has been saved 10 times over by getting rid of those unproductive staff.
More than. And, you know, they're happy to say that as well.
Yeah, when you said, you know, for a few thousand dollars – even if it was 5 or 10, you know, to go through that whole process, you know, you've got a business that's going down the toilet to now doing really well. You know, the payback is probably in the tens of thousands or even hundreds of thousands by the sound of it.
Well, in the first, I think, 12 months, we calculated a direct impact of $800,000.
Wow.
Far out.
That's sensational.
And that was by adding up all the things that they weren't doing or couldn't do because of those particular people. Like, for example, how much was the payroll lady costing by paying herself?
Yeah.
You know, so not having to pay that anymore. And, of course, not paying her redundancy because they were going to, you know, we didn't pay out extra money. We didn't pay out because they didn't have to.
Exactly.
So, it was, we could actually tie it to very specific decisions that they were making that had a huge impact on their business in relation to those HR issues.
That's brilliant.
Mm.
Yeah. So, look,
that's just one little tiny horror story. I can give you lots.
But see, it has such a successful end. It's great.
Yeah, and for me, that story epitomizes the value of paying attention to this stuff and that it doesn't have to be as scary and expensive and complicated as people think it is.
No.
Where do you think that that misidea, is that even a word?
No, I bet you're going to make one up.
Misidea, there you go. Where do you think that crap comes from?
Well, part of it, HR itself, right, isn't an actual profession. You know, like a doctor or a lawyer, that you have to be certified to be a HR person, right? And not all HR people have actually been educated as HR people, you know, and because there are so many different elements to HR, as I said at the beginning, you know, you've got different aspects to HR. Not everyone's an expert in all of those things. So it comes from the fact that you may there's a little bit of miscommunication from the HR world itself, right?
Yep.
But also, too, because people think they can do it.
You know,
of course you can employ someone. You just put an ad on Seek, give them a job.
Yep.
That's all you do, and you just pay them cash, you know, or, you know, you might give it to the bookkeeper to do because that's what we think being an employer is, but it's not. It actually comes with responsibilities. Now, I'm not a parent, right? But, you know, they say, for example, when you have a child, you don't get you have to have a license to have a child.
Yes.
Right?
You should.
Now, this, as you do have to do for driving a car, the same with HR. You don't have to have a license to be an employer.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
So that's where it starts, and everyone thinks that it is an easy process to get into.
Mm.
You know, you can just put a job on Seek or just employ someone and off you go.
It's that whole just enough information to be dangerous.
Yeah.
Go and employ someone and pay them a wage and get yourself into all sorts of trouble.
Yeah, and intuitively everyone has an opinion on what they think is right.
Mm-hmm.
Competition is really hard. The conversation I had yesterday with these Tylers was that, well, if we do the right thing, you know, no sham contracts and all this sort of stuff, our competitors are going to undercut us.
Yep.
Because they're doing the wrong thing.
Mm.
Yeah.
So that's a real challenge, and that is how do you do this? Because it looks like levels of bureaucracy that no one needs. I mean, seriously, you just want like a hole in the head, don't you? I mean,
So how do you stop it becoming that machine? You know, avoid the bureaucracy.
Well, you just do it. It's easy. It's easy, and that is that you don't actually. You just do it straight from the get go. You do a couple of things, as I said before. You get your employment contracts right. You know your award. You know a couple of those things. You get those right, and you get someone on the phone. And it doesn't. It isn't bureaucratic after that.
Mm. Sounds so simple. Why the bloody hell is this made so hard? That's what I can't figure out. Like, everyone should be doing this, right? Because it is very, very straightforward based on what you're saying.
But also, too, I know that the difficulty is a lot of employees don't want to do it that way either. They just want to be paid cash.
That is true.
Yeah. They don't want to be paid super and pay taxes. They just want to be cash in hand or use an ABN and off they go and all that sort of stuff. They don't want to, yeah. Yeah.
And look, this goes back to probably, Nick's and my tagline, tradies in business, which is, you know, get off the tools and into a true trade business. And I think that's the difference. You talk about those Tylers. There will always be someone out there who is just, like, it's not really a business. They're doing it as a self-employed job. They don't have the contracts in place. They're undercutting you on price. And it's a choice, you know. We either choose to play the long game and the sustainable game of having the right HR stuff in place and, you know, good marketing in place and quality work and all those sorts of things, or we go play in the pond with the people who are not doing it that way.
Well, the other thing too, and that is that the Fair Work Ombudsman is not accepting that anymore as well, and it's only a matter of time.
Yep.
You know, they're going after companies that are employing vulnerable workers, people from overseas, casuals, subcontractors, sham contracts. You know, they're targeting 1,000 people, 1,000 businesses at the moment, you know, so. And they're not backing down. And with single point payroll next year with the ATO, you know, again, companies are going to be more and more exposed as to what they're really doing.
Yeah,
so it's, you know, the old way, you know, handshake agreements, all that sort of stuff. In 12 months' time, that's going to be the exception rather than the rule, and we're moving through to that now. So, and as I said, the clients that I work with who are doing the right things and go, okay, well, we'll cop it, even though our competitors are not, they're kicking goals. They really are.
I actually think there's a bit of responsibility there on the small business owners that are doing it right to advertise the fact that they're doing it right. Let their clientele know that they stand out in their field because they are doing it correctly. They're not cutting corners. This is why you're paying more, because we're taking care of our staff.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
Cool. So someone's listening to this. They're a tradie. They're in business. And they're thinking, holy crap, they're talking about me. I don't have contracts. I don't have policies. What's the first step? I know you said before to pick up the phone, but if you could sort of parcel all this up into what I'm loosely referring to as a tradie takeaway and shove all this into a styrofoam hamburger container, what would that look like, Kath? Could you give us a takeaway?
Okay. I'm just thinking, get your employment contracts right. And you can do that by either purchasing the hiring do-it-yourself hiring kit from Officeworks, Again, that's only a couple of $100s. Mm-hmm. And in fact, it's not really do-it-yourself because we're actually backing that up at the moment and doing a lot of work with those people who are buying that product.
Cool.
So to make sure that everyone knows how to use the letters and that they've got the right letters. So I would be doing that. They can talk to us about what it is that they actually need at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so different companies might need different things at this point in time.
Yeah.
And their bookkeepers, you know, bookkeepers, accountants, lawyers are all liable now under a Section 550 of the Fair Work Act. They cannot underpay people. So make sure you've got good timekeeping, good payroll records, because that's what the Fair Work Ombudsman is going for.
Mm.
And just make sure you've got those things. So they're the absolute basics: timekeeping, employment letters, know the award, that basic compliance. Get that right. Absolutely, get that right.
Great tips.
Draw a line in the sand and get it right.
Yeah, super simple.
Mm.
Yep.
So, Kath, where can our listeners go to find out more about you and Career Embassy?
Sure. Okay. Well, our website is Business Embassy, businessembassy.net.au.
Mm-hmm.
And I can give you, I'm not sure if it's a good idea, but I'll give you my mobile number.
We only have several thousand people listening, so yes. That's okay. let's send them to the webpage.
Let's go to the website.
Because you may not get any sleep. So Business Embassy?
Businessembassy.net.au.
Awesome.
Or go to Officeworks online and type in Business Embassy and you'll see our three products there, the do-it-yourself HR kit, hiring kit.
Brilliant.
Again, that's a really good starter and that gets you connected into us as well.
Mm-hmm.
And it's much cheaper as well as an option.
Yep.
And... if you want to have a chat with myself or one of my team, then look, by all means, you can send an email, info@careerembassy.com or businessembassy.net.au. Or you can use the phone numbers that are on our website.
Perfect.
Great. And we'll put links to all of that in the show notes. Mm-hmm. It's like there really is no excuse for not sorting this, even as you're talking about timekeeping. It's like there are so many apps to track people's yes. time on jobs and everything. Obviously, you know, they have to remember to do that stuff, but there are some great simple apps out there. Even if it's a piece of paper, it's something.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? Even farmers I'm working with at the moment are actually implementing this stuff.
Mm. Yeah, yeah.
Yep. You know, and they're sitting out on tractors using electronic timekeeping now.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's not hard.
It's 2018, so, you know, make use of the tools that are there.
Absolutely.
Yep.
Kath, thank you for that. That was way sexier than I thought it was going to be.
Well, don't get me started. As I said, I've got lots of stories, and I'm glad we have a limited time.
Oh, I'm sure there's a list of horror stories longer than both of my arms, unfortunately, but it's a great sort of cautionary tale too about just get this stuff sorted. You know, it's like, it's such a common theme with our guests is just get off your backside and get it sorted. You know, do something
about
it. Just
make a phone call.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Just make a phone call.
Stop being scared about it and just get on with it and get after it. So, thank you again for your time today. I know you're a busy lady. You've obviously got plenty of companies to help with the HR.
Yes.
And yeah, listeners, make sure you go check out those websites. We'll put the links in the show notes, as we said. And a couple $100 and you can get this stuff sorted. Simple. Yeah.
Simple.
Awesome.
Thank you, Nicole.
Thanks, Kat.
Cheers.
Okay, have a great day.
Thank you. Wow. And just as an anecdote to that little interview, the case study that Kath was talking about, we actually asked her when we pressed pause, which I need to stop doing that because yes. I press pause and then some more good stuff comes out. But the company had been basically putting off that work and dealing with the bully employee for 5 years. prior.
It's amazing, isn't it? Can you imagine how much money they lost in that 5 years?
So although they sort of made back 800 grand in the first 6 or 12 months, I shudder to think how much money they'd blown over the 5 years prior to that with some of those, you know, questionable things going on in the business.
I think that's half the point too. We tend to turn a blind eye or not see the first issue or want to ignore it because we don't want to have that confrontation with that person. And then it just extends from there. Then suddenly there's another and another and another and you're losing hundreds and thousands of dollars every single year.
Yeah. But that's not really visible, I guess.
No.
Until you do something like this, take action, and then go, holy crap, we're losing a lot of money.
It's terrible.
So don't be like those people. Don't be like Bob or whoever it was. Bob's not his real name. For the sake of a couple hundred bucks, head over to Officeworks. Pretty sure you know who they are. And you'll find Kath's recruitment kit, I think it was.
Yes.
Where you've got access to contracts and everything put together by a proper HR person. And obviously if you head to businessembassy.net.au.
Correct.
Ding, ding. Had to remember the website there. You'll find Kath and her team and get access to all their stuff. And failing that, just head to our website and we'll have all the links in the show notes. Don't forget, as always, if you got some value from today's episode, if you'd like more of that, if you'd like to hear more stuff-ups and great stories and, you know, just chew the fat with a bunch of other tradies, join us in the Tradies in Business group on Facebook. It is a closed group. You have to answer a couple of questions before you can get in the door.
It's not too hard. We won't grill you.
There's a bouncer on the door and you've got to show that you can get past. But we just want to make sure it's a bunch of legit tradies. There's some fantastic conversations in there. Everything from apps for job scheduling to marketing tactics and
how to get away on holiday.
Yeah, how to take time off. So you'll see Nick and I in there as well. We try and stay pretty quiet. We just hang around in the shadows, making sure everybody's lurking, playing nice on the building
creepy
site.
Creepy stalkers.
But definitely head over to Facebook, search Tradies in Business in the groups, and pop your name in there and apply to join, and we'll probably let you in.
Maybe if you're good.
All right. Well, until next time, thanks again for listening. Always great to have you with us. Hooroo.
Bye.
You've been listening to the Tradies in Business podcast with Warwick Bidwell and Nicole Cox. Find out more about today's guest, tools for your trade business, and other cool stuff at tradiesinbusiness.com.au.